right. Tonight, please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Last week, we went through verses 1 through 8. Tonight, we're going to start at verse number 9, and we'll read through verse 17, and that's probably the section that we'll get through tonight. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse number 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, I want to just remind you again that this particular chapter deals with the subject of justification, and primarily the fact that justification is by faith. Last week we went through verses 1 through 8, which showed us that justification is by faith and not works. Works has no part at all in our justification. Tonight, in verses 9 through 17, the emphasis is on the fact that justification is by grace and not law. So these verses are showing us about Abraham, both last week and this week, about Abraham being justified before God because he believed God and what God said and God's promises, okay? Abraham was justified before God because he believed God and God's promises. We also saw last week, by the way, that David was justified the exact same way. And then you and I, we closed out with this, you and I can be justified before God by believing him and his word. So tonight it continues on that similar thought about justification. This time the emphasis is on grace and not law. Basically, the law has to do with man's works and things that man does. And we know, we've seen this before, that the law only condemns us. All right? The law doesn't justify us, it only condemns us. So it's not, justification is not by the law because the law only condemns us. It has to be by grace, God's grace. God giving us good things that we don't deserve. That's God's grace, okay? And it talks here in the text that we read, verses 9 through 17, it talks about circumcision. And it asks, actually it asks a couple of different questions here, but one of them was Abraham justified before he was circumcised or after? And the thought, of course, comes through very clearly, it was before he was circumcised, not after. Circumcision was a sign of a belief that took place in his heart. I have this in your notes, but if you can think about it, and I know it's not exactly the same, but if you can think about it in our New Testament terms, like with salvation and baptism, okay? Baptism, here just a little bit ago, we baptized Greg, but Greg was already saved. which is why he got baptized. Okay? Baptism, and it teaches this in the New Testament, I think it's in 1 Peter, the fact that baptism doesn't wash away your sins, but it really is a sign or a symbol of a belief that's already taken place. See, like I mentioned, Greg was already saved. Baptism is the outward sign of the inward belief. Okay? Same way in that way with circumcision. Circumcision came later, after Abraham believed. Okay? So this passage mentions the fact that circumcision was a sign or a seal, it uses that word seal in verse 11, of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. All right? Abraham was justified before God long before he was ever circumcised. Circumcision was the sign that he already believed. Okay? So it wasn't Abraham's circumcision that saved him, it was Abraham's faith that saved him. Okay, if I can go back to Greg's baptism again, it wasn't the baptism that saved Greg. It was his faith that saved Greg. Okay, that's the same for you. That's the same for me. It's faith that saves and God's goodness and grace that justifies us. Okay, Abraham's faith in the Savior is what saved him. So that's verse number 11 again, which... maybe I'll just back up again to verse 9. But cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Well, think about this. If Abraham was justified before he got saved, what would be the answer there? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Well, of course, it'd be no. Not. Because it's not because of circumcision. Or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? Verse 10. When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And the answer comes back, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So think about that. Abraham was justified before God by faith, all right? And God's grace naturally causing it to happen, but he was justified by faith before he was ever circumcised. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Imputed unto them. Okay? Earlier today, I saw a post, and I know, Becca, you saw it also because you commented on it, by evangelist Phil Skipper about, you know, some of your favorite verses and what they might be, and Rebecca made a post. Well, then later on, I made a post also, and the post that I made on that particular, or comment I made on that particular post was 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a verse that I chose in 1973, shortly after I got saved, and the verse says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so I put that verse in there, and then I commented on there that that verse I chose because it reminds me that Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. All right. When I say he gave me his righteousness, that's the word imputed. All right. And so when you read here in verse number 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness, here it comes, might be imputed unto them also. How does God impute righteousness to a man or a woman? It's when they believe. It's when they trust what the Lord said about salvation. When they believe on that, righteousness is imputed unto them also. And then verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, notice this, faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Okay, remember the thief on the cross? The one that believed, okay? Did our Lord say he had to be baptized to be in heaven with him later that day? No, not at all. Because it was his faith that saved him. And because he had faith in the Savior, which was right next to him on the cross, then righteousness was imputed to him, and he got to go to heaven. The Lord said he'd be with him later that day in paradise. So it really had nothing to do with being baptized. Just like with Abraham, it had nothing to do with him being circumcised. It's all because of faith and God's grace. So Abraham is the father of not just the Jews that believe, but Abraham is also the father of the Gentiles that believe. And that's mentioned there in verse number 11 again. Then notice again verse 12 we just read. Look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. You see, the promise of Abraham being the heir of the world was not given to him or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. There's a verse, and I don't have it in my notes, in the notes we gave you, and I don't have it written right down here, but there's a verse in the book of Galatians that talks about the fact that if righteousness comes by means of the law or works, okay, then it's no more grace. If it comes by means of works or the law, then it's no more of grace. Now, how are we saved? Well, the Bible says we're saved by grace, right? And not by the deeds of the law. You know, it's not by works. Just imagine how it would be, and I've mentioned this before, but just imagine how it would be in heaven if people got there because of their works. People would be standing around boasting about how great a man they were or great a woman they were when they were down here on earth. But when we get to heaven, nobody will be able to boast, will they? Nobody. Because it's all by grace. It's all by God's grace, simply because we believed on him and trusted him in his promises and what he said. So again, verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. All it does is condemn us. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith. Can't be by the law. Therefore, it has to be by faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I don't know what you think about this, but I am so very glad that salvation is by grace and not by the law. I'm glad that I don't have to be a Jew to get to heaven. I'm glad I can go to heaven as a Gentile. And Jews and Gentiles all go the same way. It's by faith and God's grace. It has nothing to do with the law. The law, the Bible says again in the book of Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. All the law does is show us we need a Savior. It condemns us. We need a Savior. And then it's almost as if there's an arm, and I know there's not, but it's almost like there's an arm with finger pointing right towards Jesus. He's the answer. The law can't save you. Jesus is the answer. So Abraham is the father of all, the Jews and the Gentiles, simply because he's a believing man who trusted God, and because of that, God gave him righteousness, and he is then the father of everyone who believes. Abraham was justified before circumcision, but he was also justified before the law. Did you ever think about this? Abraham was justified and declared righteous by God long before the law was given. The law wouldn't be given for quite a number of years yet under Moses, right? That would come much later. So was Abraham justified by the law? No. Abraham was justified before the law ever came. Notice again verse 13 and 14. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In your notes, on that second page, letter B there, Abraham was justified before the law was given. There's several things that I listed here. First, notice that the promise of justification was by promise and not by the law. I've mentioned Galatians several times, so why don't we go to Galatians just for a moment and look at this passage here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Galatians is a great book, and we'll go over that again sometime in the near future. But Galatians chapter 3, in fact, is I'm going to back way up, and I hope nobody minds too much, but this mentions Abraham a lot in chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1, okay? Galatians 3, 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You get the idea that somebody had corrupted their thinking and their believing. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Of course, the obvious answer is by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, by the way, the word accounted, very similar to the word imputeth, okay? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I might just pause here and say this. Are you a child of Abraham, based on what this says? Yes, we are. Because again, it's by faith and believing and trusting in what God said. Verse 8, and the Scripture, this is interesting the way he talks, Apostle Paul talks about the Scriptures here. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You know, somebody trying to get to heaven by the works of the law, they're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I'm at verse 15, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, singular, see, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. And maybe I'll stop with verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. You know, salvation has nothing to do with the law. Except perhaps that the law points us to Christ. Okay? Shows us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But the law can't save you. And by the way, not only can the law not save you and me as Gentiles, the law can't save Jewish people either. Nobody gets saved by keeping the law. First of all, you can't keep the law, but the law doesn't save and has never saved anyone. Justification was by promise and not by the law. I'm going back to Romans chapter 4. First thing was here that justification was by promise, not by the law. Second, notice what the promise was. The promise was, according to verse 13, the promise was that Abraham should be the heir of the world. He became heir of the world through his seed. The seed there was Christ. Third, notice how the promise was made to Abraham in verse 13, not through the law because it was not yet given, but rather through faith. The law does not work grace, but rather wrath. The law actually cancels out faith. All right? And then fourth, notice why the promise was made to Abraham by faith. That the promise might be by grace. Verse 16. Grace makes it free. Works cannot attain it. Grace makes it a gift. Works makes it a reward. Grace means that God is praised. Works means that man is praised. Grace through faith means that faith is the channel through which we receive God's grace. That the promise might be by grace, that the promise might be sure, according to verse 16. Anything by works cannot be sure because man fails and falls short. By faith makes it sure because Jesus never fails or comes up short. And then the last thing there, that the promise might be made available to all, verse 16 and 17. If it was limited to the law, then only the Jews could be saved. But it's not limited to the law. It's by grace, and it's by the promise, and it's by faith, you see. However, it is by faith, and therefore both Jews and Gentiles are eligible. By the way, you and I should really be thankful for that. Because that's how we got grafted in, right? God's original promise to Abraham tells us this in Genesis 17, verses 1 to 5. All believers, Old and New Testament, are included in the promise. All who pattern themselves after believing Abraham are justified. It's very important, and I know the Apostle Paul wants these believers at Rome to understand this. Justification is by faith and not works. And secondly, justification is by grace, not law. Now, for you and me, we maybe don't have some of the problems grasping this that some of the folks in Paul's day did, but you got to remember, he's ministering to people that a lot of them grew up under the law. And so for them, they're having to let go of everything they've been taught since childhood. And I'm sure that was difficult for them. Maybe somewhat like somebody, maybe like you and me, who was taught in the Lutheran church or Catholic church or Methodist church or some other church from childhood. And then you maybe didn't get saved until you were an adult. For some people, it's hard to let go of what they were taught their whole life, wasn't it? For some people, it was very hard for them. And the important thing to remember, of course, is that to be truly born again, you do have to let go of all that other stuff and take Jesus Christ and Him only. Jesus Christ and Him only. I say it every now and then, and it's important to me, and I think it is to the Lord also, that people know that no church can save you, including even the Baptist church. No, nobody gets saved because of the Baptist church. Nobody. Jesus only, see? So you got to let go of all that other stuff and trust Jesus Christ only. When you do, then God imputes to you His righteousness and He declares you to be justified. Isn't it wonderful? I don't know if you think this way like I do, but I'm really glad salvation I'm really glad that God made salvation like he did. It's a free gift. It's by faith in Christ and what he did for us on the cross. There's nothing we have to do except, you know, believe, but there's nothing we have to do as far as works are concerned. It's a gift. And I'm also glad that once you have it, you can never lose it. So thank God for that. Isn't that funny when you see somebody that's got their glasses, you know, propped up on their head, and they're looking all over the house for their glasses? If we as human beings sometimes do stuff like that, how in the world do we think we could keep our salvation? I mean, really, just think about the silly things we do as human beings sometimes. And then we, you know, some believe, well, it's up to us to keep our salvation. No, it's not. You can't even remember where your glasses are. How are you going to remember about your salvation? I'm thankful that God set it up the way that he did. I'm certain you are too. Let's pray together. Next week we'll come back and finish this chapter. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we've had to be together tonight and to look at, again, justification. Last week we were reminded that it was by faith and not by works. Tonight we're reminded that it is by grace and it's not by law. If anybody's trying to get to heaven by the law, they're going to fail. They're going to come up short and they'll never make it. It is by grace, God's promise, God gifting it to us. And may people hear that and accept that as truth from God Almighty. When we believe you, Lord, we can be justified. And if we don't believe you, we won't be justified. Bless now as we close this portion of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.